Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Our theme for 2019 is faith over fear. And we thought about that for a long time. And the reason we chose that was because God put it in our heart. You know, when God speaks to you and He gives you a vision, sometimes that vision will scare you. Sometimes you'll wonder if it's too big. But God wants you not to fear. God wants you to step out in faith. And we really got that phrase from when Marilyn was, and we told the story last week, when Marilyn was home all alone and those thieves came to the house to break down the door and maybe rape her and all those other things. And she was complaining to God about the assignment that He had given to her. And He said to her, "Will your faith be greater than your fear, or your fear greater than your faith?" And he instructed her to trust God, and her faith overcame the fear. Wow. That's our theme for this year. I was reading a little bit today as I was just thinking about this service and reminding myself of what Jesus talked about the world would be like just before He came. He said there would be distress of nations. Men's hearts would be failing them for fear. There would be turmoil. I think we live in that world just before Jesus is coming back. We live with nations in distress. Nations that are divided between the secular and the Christian. Nations that are being torn apart by corruption and greed. I was talking to my son this week and he told me that 42 million babies were aborted in 2018. That's 42 million little boys and girls who will never have the chance to enjoy an ice cream cone. Because our world is preoccupied with sexual deviance to the place of legalizing things that God said should never be legalized, and people want to live their own lives. And my country's Uganda, but where I'm supposed to be from, Canada, the official position of the nation of Canada, the official foreign policy to help combat poverty in the third world, the developing world, is to fund abortions. Millions of abortions to be funded with my tax money. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. We're living in a world that has thumbed its nose at God, and we're ending up with distress. Listen to the news. There's war. Talk about what's happening in South Korea, or maybe talk about what's happening in Argentina, or there's riots on the streets in France, or there's ISIS in different countries killing people, or there's radical Islam, and people's hearts are failing them for fear. But I've got good news to you. There is a Creator God who sits on the throne in heaven who has never left that throne. He has a plan and He has a purpose for us. And I want to talk a little bit about that today, as I want to talk about the vision that God has called us to have as a church. You know, we live in this world, but God wants us to recognize there is something greater than fear. It's called faith. God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I was reading again what Jesus, and I want to talk a little bit about vision. And I want to relate it back to vision that God gives is sometimes big vision, scary vision, expensive vision. And we might be filled with fear, but God says, "Don't worry, don't fear, trust me." I want to talk a little bit about vision and Jesus' vision, and we need a vision. Jesus was with His disciples. He was in northern Israel at a place called Caesarea Philippi, a Roman city. And there was a beautiful fountain there. And as He sat with His disciples, He said to them, "Who do people say that I am?" They said, "One of the prophets." And then He asked the more important question, the question all of us need to answer, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter makes this incredibly bold statement for a Jew. He says, you are the Christ, the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. For a Jew to make that statement that God has a Son was incredible. He recognized who Jesus was. And then Jesus replied to him. He said, Simon, son of Jonah, you didn't learn this by yourself. You had a word from God. This was revealed to you not by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Can I tell you, this world, we need to hear again from God. We need a fresh word from God. We need something to ignite our spirit with a fresh hope. Something that comes from God. I want to talk about that just a little bit. And then he says, I tell you that you are Peter. He knew his name. He knows your name. He says, on this rock, and then there's five words that I absolutely love, and Jesus gives us his vision statement. I will build my church. Do you know that Jesus loves the church? That the church is his bride. That he has paid the bride price. Do you know that he has gone to prepare a place for the bride and he's coming back? The church is the hope of the world. The world might try to marginalize the church, tell us that we are irrelevant, we're old-fashioned, and we're outdated. But let me tell you, there's nothing more relevant, more real than the words of Jesus and the truth that comes from the Bible. And there are more people that are gathering today to celebrate Jesus than ever before around the world, in most nations of the world, thronging their ways to church because Jesus had a vision that was bigger than our problems, and that vision is called the church. And nothing will stop the church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to defend against the onslaught of the church. We don't have to fear the devil. The devil has to fear us. Look out. We're coming. Who? The church. Jesus today in the community. And here's what I love about this verse. He then says, I will give you all the resources you need in order to build this church. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Wow! Unlimited authority becomes ours. God's authority becomes ours. So that when he gives us a vision, he doesn't leave us stranded. He says, now I'll give you the resources to fulfill that vision. And what does he say? Whatever you decide, whatever you determine, whatever you start on the earth, heaven is going to respond to. It doesn't even begin in heaven. It begins with our faith in what he said. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Church, it's time for us to stand up and recognize that the greatest authority that exists is right behind us. Jesus. And he has a vision. Let me tell you, he is not sitting in heaven wringing his hands wondering, oh my God, what is going to happen next? He knows, he sees, he understands. He has called out for the church to be born. And Holy Spirit comes and he changes us. And Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. He baptizes us into the church, the family of God. I was reading again this week. I think I mentioned it somewhere. The top book this year, or the top book this year is one about the family. And he talks about the family being important, But sometimes we've made the nuclear family too strong, or we've almost worshipped the family with mom and dad and three kids, and we put that family above the first family, the family that is named after our Father in heaven, the church. The church is not an event that you go to. The church is a family that you belong to. Church is not something we do on Sunday. Church is who we are on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, every day. Christ in the community. Wow. That's the vision. That's the vision that Jesus has for us. I got to tell you, friends, we need some vision. We all need vision. People without vision are people without purpose, without direction, without hope. They are people who are running around in circles going nowhere. They are people who are treading water, keeping their noses above the water, just surviving, hoping it's going to get better. They've lost the plot. The Bible says when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd are wandering around, and they are at risk of being harassed by the devil. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of people in life who don't know where they're going. They don't know how they're going to get there. They're wandering around, and they are open territory for Satan to come. There's an incredible emptiness. Life seems futile and hopeless and pointless for people who have no vision. People without vision become victims of the circumstances and the surroundings and the environment. They look for something to try and satisfy. And so they will try sex, and they will try drugs, and they will try alcohol, and they'll try a new relationship. They'll hope to become famous and make money, because money will solve all their problems, or popularity. It doesn't solve one problem. It leaves them just as empty as when they started, and suicide rates are up, 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 up. One of the top countries in the world is Korea for suicide. Pointless, hopeless life. Every week we hear about some famous person who committed suicide. Why? No vision. Maybe the vision was to make money. Maybe the vision was to become famous. Maybe the vision was to sell a million records, and that would solve my problem. No, it doesn't. We need something bigger. We need something that comes straight out of heaven, that enters into our spirits and our heart, that has purpose and meaning and reality and an influence that changes bad for good and rotten for good, for what's healthy. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Another translation puts it this way, the New International Version: where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. We need a revelation. You know what a revelation is? A revelation is a word from God. We need to hear from God about our lives. We need to hear from God about our community. We need to hear from God about our situation, our circumstances, our jobs. We need to hear from God about our nation. Because when there is no revelation, there's no word from God, people cast off restraint. We live in a world where people want to do their own thing. Lawless. We live in a nation like that. Everybody does what they seems right in their own eyes. Confusion. No direction. We need some vision. We need to hear from God. The Message Bible puts it this way: if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. People are stumbling around, wondering about how I can find meaning and purpose. They accomplish very little in life. They're aimless, they're purposeless, they're pointless, and even hopeless. They have no focus. They can't see what God is doing. And let me tell you, one of the reasons we come to church is to hear what God wants to do. We get focus. The U.S. coalition forces in Iraq had the software to disable the focus of the Iraqi anti-aircraft weapons. So when the planes flew in, the U.S. planes, to bomb, they had software that disabled the focus of the anti-aircraft weapons. Not one American plane was shot down. When you don't have focus, you hit nothing. And much of the world is like that. People don't have a focus on what is true and what is good and what is just and what is right. Governments, communities, institutions, businesses falter for lack of purpose and vision and focus. They've lost the plot. On the other hand, people with vision have purpose. They have meaning. They have focus. They have direction. They know where they're going. They've seen something better ahead. They have a pretty good idea of how they're going to get there. They're excited, they're motivated, they're energized, because that's what vision does. Everyone needs vision. You get up in the morning and you don't say, oh Lord, morning. Oh Lord, morning! Because you've got something to live for. Big, noble, grand, life-changing. So the question is, do you have vision? Do you know where you're going? Do you have a vision for your life, for your family? Not your vision, but what God wants you to do. Have you heard from God about your life? Do you know that God created you with a specific purpose? He made you different to everybody else on the planet. He knows you by name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows your background, your circumstances. And it doesn't matter who you are. If you will surrender to Him, He has something that He wants to accomplish through you. You. You say, I'm small, I'm weak, I'm insignificant, I'm nobody. That's who God loves to use. He'll pick a little boy with some lunch and feed a multitude. He'll pick you up too. Have you heard from God about your life, about your family, about your business, about your career? Are you in school because you're getting ready for what God wants you to do, or because you're looking for a job? We're already working, many of us. Many of us have finished school. Many of us are in places of employment, in the government or in business. Do you have a vision for your business? Do you have a vision for where you live? Do you have a vision for our community? Do we have a vision for this church? Do we have a vision for our lives, for our nation? Every great thing that's done begins with vision. Somebody sees it. Every leader has vision. Every great leader has great vision. And if you look at the Bible, that's true. And that vision came at great cost. That vision was a word from God that He gave to them, and it would scare the daylights out of you except for one thing: God. Like Moses, who had a vision to liberate his people from Egypt. And there were huge obstacles and great threats, but God never abandoned them. And He led them out in their millions to establish a homeland for the people of God. And He took them through the Red Sea, and He took them through the desert, and He fed them, and He nourished them with water. He never abandoned them. It would have scared people if they'd thought ahead. But faith is greater than fear. Joshua had a vision for his national homeland. After they'd wandered for all those years, he came to the edge. He had a vision to take them in, to make a homeland. And he had to do it at overwhelming odds against the giants in the land, against the enemies that were greater. David had a vision to make his nation the greatest of his day. But he faced the opposition.
from the time he was a boy. They ignored him until God said, no, that one. They anointed him. He went to Saul's house where he was opposed, ended up wandering in the deserts for 20 years getting ready, had an opportunity to do it man's way, and God said no. Why? Because God had a vision for him sitting on the throne. And I wonder, when David was out there, if he didn't often see that vision, because he was a visionary leader. Nehemiah had a vision of repairing the walls of Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple. He did it in spite of the opposition and the intimidation and the threats of Sanballat and others. And he encouraged the people, and each person built the wall in front of his house with a spear in one hand and a trowel in the other, because vision comes at great cost. But there's an incredible thing about vision. God shows up. Vision is the starting point for every great thing that God does. We're sitting in a great church today. I'm sorry, I can't help it. It is a world-class church. God's doing things that the whole world is hearing about. He told me about it on this platform. I'm going to do something here that the whole world will hear about it. Do you know where it started? When God spoke to me. Kampala, downtown, plant an English church. Through that church, I'll touch the city. I'll touch the nation. This is not about me. It's about him. It's not about what I want to do. It's about what he wants to do. And here we are sitting today with huge success. Lots of people, tens of thousands of people, 3,000, 4,000 children rescued from abandonment, 1,500 little babies rescued from rubbish heaps and hospitals where they've been abandoned. And now 4,000 women that we've rescued, and the story goes on of child soldiers in the north, and now it's a dream, it's a vision. It costs millions of dollars. If I'd have really thought it through, I'd have been scared half to death. But there's one thing makes all the difference. It's not my vision. It's God's vision. And there are a lot of people, there are a lot of people in life who are not necessarily great visionary leaders. And maybe you say, well, I'm not like that. Well, you know what? You can find a vision and attach yourself to it, and it can become your vision too. And I think that's what's happened here at Watoto Church. I think that there are thousands, tens of thousands of people who've caught the vision. And that's why every now and then it's important for us to talk about vision and why we're here. And next week we're going to talk about some of the specifics. I get excited when I walk in this morning and there's people who are up early in the morning to get here in time to stand at the door and shake people's hands and say, welcome to church, with a big smile on their face. Why are they doing that? Because they've caught a vision of this church doing something in this community to transform people's lives. There are people who walk down the street to make sure that our cars aren't having their lights stolen. Why are they doing it? Because they love what God is doing in the vision of this church. And it's not about just another service. Because church is not an event that you go to. Church is a family that you belong to. And Marilyn and I were talking about the choir when they were up here and they were singing those songs. And all you have to do is watch them. They're singing and they're praising, and they're not just singing, they're worshiping. Everything oozes out. They belong. Frederick stands up here and he says, my life was transformed 13 years ago. I've never been the same. And now I've got a vision. Every great vision starts with an idea, not a good idea, a God idea. The Wright brothers had a good idea. They said, let's fly. I've been to Kitty Hawk, the beach in South Carolina where they flew the very first plane 100 yards. Our Korean friends got on a big airplane and they all flew from Korea to Uganda. They ate on the plane, they slept on the plane, they talked on the plane, they read books on the plane. It was quite comfortable. And they came all the way. Somebody changed the world by a vision. Thomas Edison changed the world with a light bulb and electricity, the computer, the internet, the automobile. Henry Ford. And the automobile, visions, ideas, dreams that seem impossible. But can I give you some good news? No one is a greater visionary or a greater leader than Jesus. No one has done more to change history and to change the world than Jesus. More people are following Jesus today than any other leader who ever lived. Why? Because he's got a vision, a good vision, a noble, grand, life-changing vision, a clean vision. When I was younger, there was a group called the Beatles. They changed music. John Lennon, one of the lead Beatles, said that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus. Well, John Lennon is very dead and has very few followers today, but not Jesus. He's alive and he's got more followers than ever. And some people would say John Lennon gave us some great music. Maybe for a little while, but his music is not listened to by many people anymore. But the words of Jesus are being preached in Kampala, Uganda, to tens of thousands of people 2,000 years after he was alive, because he's got the greatest vision that will never go out of effect. The vision of changing people, changing community, changing lives. It's a life-changing, world-changing, community-changing, national-changing, global vision that is going to take us somewhere noble and good. We all need vision. We need to hear from God. So vision gives us purpose and direction and meaning and value. It's something that we live for that is bigger than ourselves. Something that when we grasp it will make our place a better place. Us better people. Our community a better community. Vision sees a brighter, better future and starts us on a dynamic journey of success and accomplishment. I know what I'm talking about. I'm a leader. I'm a visionary leader. And I'm here. I'm here today to let you know. Church, we are what God sees. Changed, transformed, healed, set free, delivered, ennobled, given purpose and meaning and value. And we join each other and we make a stand and say, come on, let's go give the devil a kick, good kick in the pants. You want to be a part of that? I want to be a part of that. I want to live my life so that when I'm done, I'll hear Jesus say, well done, Gary, good and faithful servant.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.